This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome onto this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's awesome to have you with us once again today. And I do get to share another phenomenal Ironman story. I love, this is one of my favorite days of the week. I love when I get to share these stories. And by all accounts, so do you. I just find the diversity and the motivation really great. So today we get to catch up with Keith Garbutt to find out a little bit about his Ironman story and how he got started in the sport. Before we do that, though, just a quick heads up. If you haven't joined us on Strava, we've got the Kona Edge sort of community club just for a bit of fun and games. There's a weekly leaderboard that you can get on it. So all you need to do to join it is head over to thekonaedge.com/Strava, and that will redirect you to the page on the platform. And come hang out. We've got some exciting things in the pipeline as well. I've been alluding to it over the last few weeks here on the podcast. But yeah, we seem to be making some progress, doing a bit of research, and I'm pretty excited about it. And if you check us out on social media, is particularly on the Instagram, just search for The Kona Edge, you might get a bit of a clue of what we're up to. So go and check that out. Just search for Kona Edge on Instagram and check that out, or head over to Strava. That's thekonaedge.com/Strava for you to join us there. Looking forward to hanging out and seeing what you're up to, and you can see what we're up to as well. And who knows, you could be topping our leaderboard this week. So head over to the URL. It's thekonaedge.com/Strava. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Team Robertson Ready. Team RR provides personalized triathlon, running, and nutrition coaching. And as a client, you'll receive a customized program based on your specific needs for your triathlon or running goals. Team RR coaching is hands-on and takes into consideration each athlete's strengths, weaknesses, and unique life schedule. The nutrition program is individualized based on individual blood panel markers, personal goals, past history, as well as using current research on what works. Team RR is led by former elite triathlete John Robertson, who also holds a Bachelor of Science degree in nutrition. To find out more about John and the work he does with Team RR, simply head over to teamrobertsonready.com or alternatively go to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Don't forget too, if you're a coach and you'd like to use the Kona Edge to grow your coaching business, head over to that same URL. It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Scroll all the way down to the bottom and you'll get all the details there. To the UK now, to just outside London, to catch up with our next guest, Keith Garbutt. Keith, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
Keith, it's great to catch up. I know for a fact there's a huge triathlon scene in London. You stay just outside, so you were telling me before we started recording it, so that you're able to cycle out in the into the country. Obviously, in the centre of London's not ideal. There are lots of cyclists around, but you prefer the safety of the country roads.
That's right. I live out to the southwest, and there's access to the Surrey Hills. There's fantastic small lanes for cycling. It's where the Olympic road race came. Great trails for running and mountain biking as well. So it's a really nice area to have access to.
Keith, no disrespect, but why is the triathlon scene so big in the UK? I mean, let's be honest, the weather is not ideal. In summer, it's great, but winter, it can get terrible. What's driven the growth of the sport in the UK?
It's a tough one. I go way back. I did my first triathlon in 1990, so I have a BTA license at number about 500 and something. And it's been amazing, the growth. We thought it was growing a lot through the 90s, and then it just kept growing and going on. Obviously, we had the big sort of 80s running boom, everyone wanted to do a marathon, but now really everyone wants to do an Ironman, and it is surprising. And obviously, it's a tough challenge for all those people, but it really has taken off. Cycling is huge, great growth in cycling, and yeah, everyone's really getting into that.
I
don't know why.
Which is obviously good for the sport and good for British triathlon. I mean, you've got obviously the Brownlees everyone knows of, but the sport is really just growing in leaps and bounds, and I think it's fantastic. And I don't think it's just the UK. I think globally there's this huge upsurge in triathlon.
Yes, and the Ironman brand continues to grow, adding races, and of course, that just makes it gradually harder to get to Kona.
You mentioned you've been around the sport for a while. You've probably one of the people who've been around the longest that we've spoken to on the podcast. How did you first get involved in triathlon?
So in the late 80s, I was in a student house with a load of cross-country runners. I was doing cross-country at university. One of my housemates was the late and missed Julian Jenkinson, who went on to become a pro triathlete, British Ironman holder, and British national cycling time trial champion. He got into it, really, and I just followed him. I'd done some swimming as a kid, got a bike, joined the local tri club, found I was better at triathlon than any of the individual sports and really enjoyed the challenge and variety. So through the early 90s, Julian and I would just go racing around the country almost every weekend. Gradually we moved apart, but I just have stayed into it. I've stayed healthy. I've kept enjoying it and just kept going all the way ever since.
Have you always been good at it?
I was never as good as Julian turned pro and made a career. I've always been a good age grouper, but then I've always had quite a demanding job and family life. So my achievement has been to balance just about those three. So I've done like GB age group at Olympic distance, the ITU long distance, and then taken up Ironman and got to Kona. This is my third time this year, but I've qualified some other times and not gone. So I've just been at that good age group level and enjoyed being competitive.
Talk to me about outside of triathlon life. You mentioned family and work. What do you do and what's the domestic situation like?
Yep. So I have a lovely and understanding wife and two quite grown up university age daughters. They're not sporty, but they realize that it's an important part of my life and support or at least tolerate my activity there. I work in the financial center in London in risk management for a large international bank, running a global team and working quite long hours. So it is, it's challenging and demanding to just balance all of those things.
That's probably one of the biggest challenges that age groupers have is keeping all those balls in the air. What's the secret to it?
I think you have to be a bit flexible and a bit creative and sort of a bit opportunistic. So I don't always have a very rigorous training schedule, but if I have a chance, I'll do something. And one of the benefits of my company is that we have a gym and a pool in the building. So if I have a bit of time in the day, I can just sort of, nip out and use the time. I don't go to lunch. I go to the gym. Although I can't cycle all the way to work because of the traffic conditions, I often run or cycle a bit of it. We have the so-called Boris bikes, the hire bikes in London that you can sort of plug in and out of a docking station, so I can use them on the way to work, jump off and run. Just really try and fit in training. When we go visiting at the weekend, I'll often cycle and run. I'm sure a lot of people listening will do that kind of thing as well.
It's so funny you say that because I've just done that. We met a friend of ours quite away from home. I said to my wife, I'm leaving early. I'll meet you there. And that's exactly what we did. And it's exactly that. It's being creative and working with the hand you've been dealt.
Yep.
Keith, tell me as well, being around the sport for a long, long time, we often see it, and I'm sure you've seen it tons, where people come into the sport and they're really gung-ho about it and they're crazy about Ironman, and 2 years later you don't see them again. They're totally burnt out and they've moved on to something else. What's been the secret to your longevity and you staying fresh and passionate about the sport?
Yeah, so I don't know. I almost feel a bit boring, but I still enjoy the challenge. I've managed to overcome sort of injuries, and I just enjoy some of those big challenges. So my first Ironman was Lanzarote. I've done Norseman. I've done Zofingen. Hawaii is such a challenge because of the conditions there. So I just like a big epic challenge, and I really enjoy. I like it's the build up, isn't it? You enter an Ironman race up to a year ahead, you know it's coming, and you have to somehow structure all of those different elements and try and get everything into place so that you get to the start line and in good shape and ready. And that's such a challenge. I still really enjoy that. I don't know. I don't know about the others. I think some people do it just to tick it off, but I like to get out there and race and be competitive.
Do you think you've got this thing figured out, or are you still a student of the sport?
Sometimes I think I do, but then it goes wrong. So my third trip to Kona this year. Last time I had mechanicals and cramp problems, and so this year I was all over my bike. Everything was either in great condition or I had a good plan as how to deal with the mechanicals. I really got on top of the electrolytes, and that went really well. And then I dehydrated on the run, and I haven't done that before. And I really thought, I just keep drinking and it's all going to be okay. But I felt terrible. Ended up walking, blood in my urine, just all the signs. And it just hadn't really happened. I didn't have a proper hydration plan. So there's something that, I thought in my 13th Ironman, I knew what I was doing. But still, something goes wrong, you learn something, and it makes you determined to go back and try and have that good race. That's always a bit elusive.
Have you had the perfect race?
I've had some better. There's no perfect races. I've had some good races. Yeah, I've got a couple. I've got an age group win at Ironman Florida and at half Ironman UK. I've had some good races at in non-Ironman events, but the perfect race is perhaps it's never there. The whole thing is so challenging that there's always something that can go wrong. But that's what makes it so interesting, that it is quite complicated and so hard to get all of those elements lined up.
The sport is a great leveler. Just when you think you're getting a handle on it, it throws you a curveball. And by the sounds of it, that's exactly what's happened in your career over the years. Well, what are some of the challenges and things that you're struggling with at the moment that you're working on and trying to get better at?
Not quite the answer. Some of the challenges that I've had with injury, and I've had a series of problems with my heels. I've had six operations on my heels since 2000, and sort of got through those and are now running fit and healthy and pain free. So getting to that state, is very pleasing and rewarding. And I used to dream about running pain free, and now it's true. So that was a big challenge. Now I'm enjoying, the age group. I was waiting to turn 50 for a couple of years with a plan to get to Kona in 2017, which I got there, but as I mentioned, didn't quite have the race I was looking for. So now I'm aiming to have another go and get back. There's always things to work on. It's the challenge of getting to the start line in good shape in all three disciplines with the right balance remains very difficult.
Tell me a little bit about the heel injury and the sort of what you've had to go through and what were the causes and how have you fixed it?
Yep. So I suffered from Hackland's deformity, which is it's like a heel spur, a bone spur on the heel, on the back of the sides of the heel that then begins to interfere with the Achilles. So I was having Achilles problems and pain caused by these bone spurs. But the operation is relatively straightforward. It is just open it up and chip them off and repair any tendon damage. I mentioned I've had six operations. The first few were with a general anesthetic, but then the specialist who finally sorted me out does it with a local. So I've been lying awake, feeling the chip of the hammer and chisel on my heel bone as that was put right. But it is something that can be mechanically fixed, and then there's a reasonable recovery if you follow the program to come back. And I've healed up well and now running pretty well.
That's fantastic. It's always, that's amazing. I've also had some running injuries, and when you do get them sorted, it's just the most amazing feeling. Keith, as far as things you're most proud of in the sport, what would you say if you look back at the end of your career, if you had to look back now, what are you most proud of?
I'm proud of having managed to do those things I've spoken about, balancing the work and family life, racing to a good standard, being competitive, and achieving what I've achieved. I'm also, it's a slight aside, is that I've also organised some charity events, related to that sporting interest, and we've done things like a London to Paris triathlon as a relay and as a race against other financial institutions. We've also done London to Dublin triathlon charity relay, which I believe has only been done once. And we've run the length of Great Britain, and pulling together groups of like-minded people and those perhaps who didn't think they were going to be into that kind of thing. The challenge of completing it, the camaraderie, and then yeah, significant amount of fundraising from that. That's something I'm also proud of as a spin-off from my sporting specialisation.
Sounds amazing. If you could go back to when you were starting out, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently? Is there anything you would change? What would you tell yourself?
Yep, don't train injured. pretty straightforward. That, you know, that's some of my problems, just, you know, self-inflicted. And yeah, when you're in good shape, you've got something coming up, you know, something begins to go a bit wrong, you think, oh, I'll train through it or it'll go away on its own. It doesn't happen. So you really have to try to be disciplined at an early stage when you have an injury, really try and work out what's going on. And yeah, then you've got obviously a better chance to resolve before it gets too bad. I've had a couple of other, you know, less serious injuries that really took a long time to overcome. And in the end, it was about finding the right stretch. So, you know, don't neglect your stretching, have a complete stretching program. And, you know, obviously, yeah, you have to, the body takes a lot of pounding, and you have to look after it.
Let's talk about looking after that body, particularly as we age. Is that something that is weighing on your mind as you get older and maybe not being able to do the things you were able to do 20 years ago? Is that a challenge as an age grouper getting on in the age groups?
I think, you know, to keep going, you have to look after yourself. And yeah, I've learned some of those lessons. Go, stay on top of the stretching and flexibility. Don't train injured. Yeah, think about your kit. Listen to your body. Take a day off when you have a concern. All of those things, you know, can help it keep going. But I've often had people say to me, "Oh, you're going to stop now?" Or, you know, "When are you going to give up?" But it doesn't really occur to me that I would just stop sort of voluntarily. Yeah, I intend to keep going as long as I can be competitive. I somehow don't quite want to be, I can't think of a better word, I'm going to say freak show, there might be a better way to say it. I don't want to be a guy who is like weird because he's, you know, still going and sort of staggering along, just about crawling over the line. I'd rather be, you know, I'd rather continue to be in good shape and race and be competitive and enjoy it at that level, then that's what I'm looking for.
I was going to say, are you going to be one of those guys in the 80s lining up and towing the line in Kona?
I didn't have a good choice of phrase earlier, so I have a great deal of respect for those guys. I can't quite express it properly, but I, you know, if you know, they're out there racing and being competitive, that's great. Yeah, let's see how long it can keep going. I think that it's going to be a tough one to call.
For many of us, Keith, our strategy to get to the Big Island is to outlive everyone in our age group. So that's my plan for sure, and I know a lot of other people are working on that strategy as well. Talk to me a little bit about the sort of mindset of what it takes to qualify for and race on the Big Island. Does it take a special type of person? Is it simply a case of you do the work and you'll get there? In your mind, what does it take to be a successful age group and get to the world champs?
Yeah, a lot of people do Ironman for the challenge of completing the event and sort of overcoming the course. And that's, you know, commendable. I have full respect for those people. But, you know, to get to Kona, you have to race. It isn't just about completing. There's a lot of people out there. It's tough to get in. You've got to be competitive, and so you have to train as though you're racing, and that means you know, not just plodding around, but doing some intense work, some you know, trying to go fast in each discipline, probably doing some racing in each discipline in order to have that sort of capability to be able to then, you know, over a rather longer day, your steady pace obviously then has to be faster. So I think it's a racing mindset, whereas a lot of the advice you see around Ironman is all around being conservative. But so you have to take some risks, I think.
You talk about the mindset. How much of getting there and being successful is mental as opposed to physical? I mean, we all go through patches in a race where we're struggling and we're hurting. And I think managing that ability to push through that and keep going is probably what separates the good from the really great athletes. Do you think that is a major part of it?
I think the mental side is really interesting because it is, you know, just like you say, there's ups and downs. There's times when your body's screaming at you to stop, and you have to find a way to keep going. It's really interesting. And I'm, you know, it's part of the challenge. I'm interested in, you know, how in those sort of coping mechanisms. And I've found for myself that it's no good getting off the bike and thinking of all those 42 kilometers to come. It's really a question of almost taking it one step at a time or 1 kilometer at a time, doing it sort of in the moment a bit, I think, some of the time, rather than letting your mind take the step back and realize what the big picture looks like, because that could really shut you down. So yeah, the mental things are really interesting. But of course, no matter how strong you are mentally and how determined, you have to have the physical ability and preparation to give yourself a chance as well.
On the mental side of things, is that something you practice in training? Do you use visualization, meditation, that sort of thing? Is it a case of you take it as it comes, or are you very deliberate? I mean, obviously with your training and nutrition, you're deliberate, but on the mental side of things, are you deliberate in that preparation?
No, I don't try and train myself mentally particularly. I guess the training that we do, the physical training that we do, gives it still, however, so it gives you some of that preparation and teaches you how to go long. But I do, I mentally walk through the race almost as part of the preparation in terms of the, you know, the logistics and how am I going to do my, you know, what do the transitions look like? Well, what's my nutrition plan on the bike? Just to really, as part of the planning, just to sort of think through, I'd say, almost the way, you know, say visualize or sort of work your way mentally through the event, just to make sure you have a plan and, you know, know what's coming and how you're going to manage it. Think about what can go wrong, of course, and how you might overcome.
Absolutely. Any regrets in the sport over your career? Think something you would change?
Not particularly. No, I've had some good opportunities and I've tended to take them. So, yeah, I mean, I wish I'd slowed down a bit on the corner when I fell off, you know, that kind of thing. But that's sort of in the moment. So, no, bigger picture. I've really enjoyed it, and I've got a lot out of it. So, I'm very much pleased with the choices I've made along the way.
Brilliant. You mentioned the two of the races that you're extremely proud of, the age group win in Florida and the half, the 70.3 in the UK. Two very different courses. Does it matter to you? Everyone's racing on the course on the same day. Do you have a preference? I mean, Florida is pretty fast and flat. I know the UK courses can be very challenging. What's your favorite? Do you lean towards the faster, flatter ones or the more challenging, tougher, particularly the bike courses?
Yeah, I like a bit of a challenging bike course. I'm a relatively strong cyclist, so I like if the course is going to break it up a bit. I mean, that race in Florida, I was pushing through on the bike and got to the stage where suddenly people were drafting off of me. So I sort of sat back off them and got swept along, and then, legally on the back of an enormous group that swept all the way through the race. We picked, up through into the all pro women, so had a really easy bike and a fast run. Half Ironman UK, the Wimbleball course, which I think is now discontinued, is great because it's all those little country lanes, just like I'm used to training on in the Surrey Hills, twisty, dirty, bad surfaces, up and down a lot, short, sharp climbs to attack. That's home for me, and I'm comfortable with the bike handling through that kind of bike course and some flat sections. So I really, really enjoyed tearing it up through there.
As far as things you'd still like to achieve in the sport, like you say, you've got a couple of age group wins and other races. I'm taking it Kona's one that is still to be checked off. Is that something you're chasing? Anything else that you're still after before you decide to hang up the wheel, so to speak?
It's very frustrating to have worked so hard and been on such a journey to get to Kona and then to, I think, make a fairly fundamental mistake in not having a hydration plan. So I'm frustrated by that. I was very frustrated at the awards, looking at the people on the podium and thinking, I could have been quite close to that. So I have a bit of unfinished business there. The other race I'd really like to do, which I haven't, is Otolo So I've done one of their swim run races in Engadine, and I really enjoyed the novelty of multi-stage swim and run, swimming in your shoes, anything goes for kit with paddles or whatever you want to carry, doing it with a partner. All of those things were really, really good fun. So I'd like to do a bit more of that as well and see if I can qualify with the right partner and get to O2O final.
Sounds brilliant. If that's the sort of stuff you're into, we've got one here in Cape Town as well that is spectacular. So you need to check that out as well. It's a very fun event. I don't think it's as tough as the one you're talking about, but definitely worth the trip to South Africa as well. And then Keith, looking ahead and knowing what you know now, that we've got a lot of sort of people who listen to this podcast who are just getting into triathlon. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting to find their way and maybe have some ambitions of possibly doing their first Ironman? What advice would you give them? Would it be a case of going and get help or figure out yourself and make the mistakes, because that's the best way to learn?
I think it's not very time efficient to go and make all the mistakes again that people have already made. And I think, if you can really understand other people's wisdom and learn from that and not make mistakes again, then obviously you can save a lot of time and save your own disappointment. My advice would be to join a club. You've got training partners and training sessions and wisdom and support all around. Get some swim coaching. I see so many people with poor swim technique, and it's a freebie. You can do much better without save yourself a lot of training and give yourself a much better chance if you're a competent technical swimmer. And I think you need to, if you want to be competitive, you have to be competitive in each of the disciplines on their own. So do some bike racing, do some time trialing. In the UK we have a big cycle time trialing scene. What could be better training for the bike part of any distance triathlon than going out and doing a 10 mile, 25, 50 or 100 mile time trial as a single event, seeing what good looks like from all those guys zooming past you and really learning from that. And obviously there's plenty of running races around as well. So I think, just really immerse yourself in it. Try and benefit from others' wisdom. Make sure you've got good technique, kit, position, all those things, and try and bring it all together.
Sounds
brilliant. We haven't spoken much about nutrition, of course.
No, absolutely not. Well, Keith, what I'm going to do is, I think that's fantastic, just on a little bit of your background. I'm going to save the individual disciplines for another time. We'll talk about your swim, your bike, your run, and your nutrition. But thanks for your time today on the Cone Edge. I look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you, Brad.
This episode of the Cone Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor. That is it for this edition of the Cone Edge. Thank you so much for joining us. Got another pretty cool iTunes review in from Iron Neil a couple of days ago. And the headline says, "Keeping it real, I fell in love with this podcast and never miss an episode. Full of great realistic and practical information. You don't have to weed out the latest fad or hear about drastic training changes. Full of practical daily information that can help." Well, Iron Neil, I salute you, sir. Thank you very much for that iTunes review. If you haven't left us one yet, please do. It literally only takes you a minute or two, and it helps us immensely. It's almost like a virtual tip jar, if you'd like. If you'd like to help us out, you can. Just go leave us a review on iTunes. And what that does is it just bumps us up in the rankings in iTunes and helps more triathletes just like you find this podcast. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate you big time, and I'll give you a shout out on the next edition of the Cone Edge. If you'd like as well, leave your social media handle. I'll give you a shout out on social media as well. So I'd love to connect. Until tomorrow, From myself, Brad Brown, you have yourself a great day. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.
Don't forget, if you'd like to access the commercial-free feed of The Kona Edge, all you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/support, become a patron, and you'll get access to that feed right away.